Today's daf in the Sechet Yevamot brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKadosh is daf Tzadik Chet. And we are holding on the third line, Omar Rava. So we saw that there's a difference between paternity and maternity. What is it based on? So Hadi Omar Rabbanan, Ein Av L'Mitzri. When the Rabbanan gave this general idea, look, there's no such thing as a Mitzri, meaning a ger, having a father in terms of any dinim of Arias. Do not say that this is because we don't really know who a father is. That's not the point. And therefore, the loyadia, we have no reason to assume that the supposed father is the father. Why would it be? So we use the Mitzri as this dogma, because that was the whole point. Remember in Mitzrayim that there were many bechorot in each home because the mother's been sleeping with all kinds of people. And we know that the whole idea of the zirmatzusim zirmasam and referring to the issue of Mitzrayim being the equivalent of donkeys and stuff like that. Okay, fine. So we talk about a Mitzri. It doesn't mean only a Mitzri. So don't think that the problem is because these people are basically completely without concern for who a father is. Even in a case where you know 100% who the father is, it would make no difference. So then don't think that yediyah chashinan, because it's wrong. Afilu yediyah nami lo chashinan. Even if we know who the father is, let's say that the mother and the father were put in the same jail cell for the past year, you know? So over there, the likelihood of somebody else impregnating her, I mean, obviously it's still possible, but the point is that then it's the equivalent of a normal rove. Most of the time that they would have had intercourse, it would have been with each other in the same jail cell. So over there, we do know who the father is, again, in terms of halacha, as well as we know what Jewish father is. But I'll prove to you that that's absurd because of the brisa that we just had. If you have two twins, or shnei achim, or identical twins, where over there we know that we began basically with the same genetic inheritance, which then split into two. So there you had a tipa achataya v'nech l'kalishtayim. And the halacha is in the Sefer of the Brisa, where it says, where the horatam was shelo b'kedusha, but leidatam was b'kedusha, there's no paternity, because lo chotzin v'lo miyamim. So therefore, says Rava, the issue is not the suffix of the father. The issue is that there is no father. Meaning, shma mina avkure avkure rachmana lazare, and this is basically the Torah was mafkir the paternity, and that would explain the Virgin Mary. You know, there was no father, exactly, because the father was a horse. Anyway, so the idea over here would be that it's zirmatzu sim zirmatam, as it says about Mitzrayim, which is why we're talking about the Bisar Hamorim Bisaram, zirmatzu sim zirmatam, and therefore there is no real arias relationship, la halacha, between the Mitzri and his father. Now, let's see what we can finally come out with. We ended up without any kind of rayas. We worked out the mission and the brides, both according to Rav Acha and according to Rav Shesha. So we still have a standing machlokas. Is there an iser drabonan in these cases that appear to be related to people? Or can we rely on Rav Acha by Yaakov's psak that everyone understands the difference of a case of giyur, where we say it's kekatan shenaylad, and the case of brothers who were born in normal Jewish circumstances, and therefore the Torah has additional isurim. So let's see if we can bring a raya from a maisa from this brisa. Rabbi Yossi says that there was a maisa with a ger whose name was Niftai, and he went ahead and he actually married his brother's wife, Nasa Eshet Achiv Mi'imo. Now, it doesn't say yet whether this was his brother's wife from before the giyur, in which case the issue would be, is there a concept of marriage before the giyur? Or whether it's talking about after the giyur, in which case the issue would be, is there a concept of brotherhood? Fine, that's a different issue. Obviously, they're two completely different questions. That's what we're going to have to decide before we can bring a riot. So anyway, he went ahead and he married his brother's wife. Now, obviously, his brother here was only his maternal brother, by definition, because they were gerim. Ubama aselif de chachamim. They came to the Chachomim, and the Chachomim said, there is no state of Ishus to a ger.
What?
What are you talking? That's insane. Of course there is. Well, you're telling me that a ger is a Mekadosh and Isha, there's no Kedushin? What do you mean there's no Ishus to a ger? Are you off the wall? No. Obviously, that's not what they said. They said, Ein Isur Eishet Ach Leger. That's the point. There's no concept of an Ishus of a brother because he's not related. Now, I mean, I'm assuming that that means that this brother of this Niftayim had actually married his wife when he was already a ger, and therefore is a perfectly kosher marriage. And after he dies, Niftayim marries his brother's wife because he was a katan shenayla dami, and therefore they're not related, right? So my love the nasfa ach kishuhu ger, which proves that Rav Acher bar Yaakov is correct. Rav Acher bar Yaakov says there's no problem in doing just that. And Rav Sheshitz, who said, yes, there is, because it'll be very confusing for people, is clearly wrong. Well, says Rav Sheshitz, I mean, what makes you think that? I would say that it's talking about that Niftayim's brother had married this girl when he was not Jewish. So therefore, after they went ahead and they converted, they're no longer married. So if he would have once again taken her back and remarried her or slept with her l'shem kiddushin, fine. But that's not what happened over here. So since the marriage does no longer exist. So that's what they were saying. There's no marriage. And that's really true. There's no marriage. And it's talking about that he married her when he was a goy. Says the Gemara, but then I understand. If he married her when he was a goy, obviously there's no iser. What are we talking about? How would there be an iser to marry a brother who was a goy and married? He marries a woman, and then what? Then they become Jewish, so then somebody would think that he's married to her from the Torah. So what's the Chiddush? Why would we even make a thing out of this? Well, because I might have thought that Ma'o de Tema Ligzar Kishuovet Kochavim Otu Kishuker. Let's say we allow Niftayim to marry this woman. So Niftayim thinks to himself, the reason is not because they're not married and he hasn't slept with her since he became a ger. He will think that it's because he was not related to him as a ger, and therefore, even if he would have married her when he was already a ger, that it would also have been mutter to him. So therefore, the Braisa says that's not so bad. So that even in a case where we might be brothers mina'im, that might come to be a disaster. No, we're not worried about that. Okay. Tashma. And we have another case. Ben Yassian said that, I can tell you that when I was traveling around the world, you know, going to the Karche Hayam, so Matsati Gerachad, so I run into this guy who had married his Eshet Achiv Me'imo, and I said to him, whoa, who gave you the heter to marry your brother's wife? How is that? Me, Hirshecha, Omarli, look, here's a woman who did that. She's got seven kids, all of whom had also become gerim. They all married each other's wives just for fun, you know? And this was the psak around here, and I can tell you where the psak came from. Let me come on in here, right here in the Beit HaKnesset. On this very chair, Rabbi Akiva sat down and taught us two things, okay? The Omer Shnei Dvarim. Number one, he taught us that a ger is allowed to marry Eshet Achiv Me'imo. He was the one, Rabbi Akiva was mater, these seven sons that they could marry. And therefore, I obviously had a right to rely on Rabbi Akiva's psak, and that it is not really a relationship that we worry about because I was essentially in a state of a ger that was a kikot and chinolat. So what's the difference? Even if they did share the mother at the time of the Leda. And he said another din, Rabbi Akiva said. And they didn't share, sorry, at the time of the Leda. Sorry, that's good for the case that would be us. Even though we would be afraid, maybe you would think that he would take that case too, which is easy to confuse. Rabbi Akiva says it's not a problem. And furthermore, he said something else. He said that when the Pasuk said, Vayi Dvar Hashem El Yonah Shenit, it means that God only spoke to Yonah twice. There were no additional time that the Shekhinah had spoken to him. Okay. Anyway, you see that the Braisa says that Rabbi Akiva said beferish, that he can marry her. Apparently, I mean, when it talks about marrying his sister's wife, it means his sister's wife, where his brother's wife, where the brother had married her when he was already a ger. And so that's exactly what Rav Acher bar Yaakov said. There's no problem of someone who is considered to be a katan shenaylad from marrying a brother's wife that he is technically genetically is related to, but is completely unrelated to halacha. And I don't buy into this thing of Rav Sheshes that we're nervous that people are going to, either they're going to get confused, or he's going to get confused, and he's going to marry even in a case where they were related. No, no, no. Okay, so there we go. So we now see that Rabbi Akiva holds exactly what Rav Acher bar Yaakov said. Now, maybe this case also says the Gemara. What Rav Sheshes would say is it's talking about that the first brother had married her when he wasn't even Jewish. When he wasn't even Jewish. So then obviously then they were never married. I don't get it. That has nothing to do with shared paternity or maternity. So it's a Kiddush. Maila Meimra, obviously that's true. Well, it isn't, because look, if we allow him to get married in a case where he had to marry his brother's wife, where the brother had married that wife when he was not Jewish, what's going to prevent him from making the mistake that he could do the same thing when the brother was Jewish? And at that point, if we're talking about there was a relationship, then it would be usher. So kamash balan, maybe that's what it's saying. That's how I understand it, says Rav Sheshes. Hey, don't we have a problem over here with that same issue that we had Dafka with Boaz and Ruth? You know, that's where we brought up the whole issue. So we're back there too. How did we believe that Rabbi Akiva, this guy quotes Rabbi Akiva, right? And we accepted it. Why would we accept his testimony? But he's saying, I can tell you that right here, Rabbi Akiva sat and he said, yeah, great. That just happens to work out fine for you that you can have this wife that you always wanted to take from your brother, right? But I mean, why should we believe you? Didn't we say before that Amar Bav, Amar Vun Amar Rav, and this was the whole reason that Boaz had to get sneaking out of there, you know, so nobody knows that. That's why it says in the Pasuk, beautiful Diak, right? That people veloivadaki bo haisha hagora. He wasn't embarrassed by the fact that he had a woman with him in the Goran. It was the woman that was in the Goran. Because then he would never have been able to tell them that, yes, I have a Kabbalah. And this goes all the way back. I have a Kabbalah from Shmuel Ramah. No, we don't believe a word you're saying. Because you want Ha'isha, right? Okay, so therefore, the same thing is true over here. Kol tamid chacham shemoreh halacha upa. If a guy has been telling over this Kabbalah that he has, and he's been saying it over for a long time, and he said it before any Lamaisa issue, Tosfos holds, remember we said before, any Lamaisa issue that involves him in the case. So im kodem ma'aseh amra, then shom imlo. But if not, we don't accept it from him. Imlav ein shom imlo. So how was this testimony about Rabbi Akiva, how was that acceptable? Why did they say, oh, okay, fine, so then you're allowed to stay with her? Well, there's two possibilities to answer that question. Who's to say that he only said it now? Maybe he had been saying it for years before it was nogea his own matzah. So that is not being said. I don't know. So maybe it was a mora uba. Or maybe it was the fact that he was able to point out that it was nogea other people. Here's the woman. Here's her seven sons. Here's the way that they've been noed, which means that it was obviously nogea lahalacha to other people and had already been put into practice. Or, you know what? Maybe the whole point over here is that since we have this story of Yonah and we're going to accept what Rabbi Akiva said vis-a-vis the Yonah, so therefore we look at it all as one thing where we are listening in to what Rabbi Akiva said. But by the way, what he said, is that true though? Omer Mar, Rabbi Akiva tainet that vayidvar Hashem al Yonah shenit lemor. And this was the deal only a second time. The Shekhinah spoke to him, never spoke to him again. But How could that be so? We know of a third time that the Shekhinah spoke to Yonah. It says, who heshiv? Here it's talking about the strange fact that Yeravam ben Yoash, that he was able to restore all of the cities that had been taken away from Klal Yisrael. And that was like a big gezeirah that the Aram was going to really take away everything and turn them into the Afar HaAdama. And then all of a sudden comes along Yeravam ben Yoash, and he is given this miraculous ability to recapture everything that had been lost to Aram. And the way that the Torah expresses it is that Hu Eshivet Glu Yisrael Milavo Chamat Adiyam HaArava Kidvar Hashem Asher Diber B'Yad Avdo Yonah Ben Amitai Anavi. Oh my gosh. So then that means that this idea that that Yeravam would be able to do this was an avias that had been given over by Yonah. I thought you said God never spoke to Yonah three times. Yonah spoke to him two times. So when did that happen? Omer Avina, when Rabbi Akiva was saying that he never spoke to him again, it means he never spoke to him again about Nineveh because he didn't like the way that Yonah had acted. You know, but he's coming to me now and complaining about the fact that I'm making a chilul Hashem and that I shouldn't have allowed them to. That's disgusting. I'm not going to discuss Nineveh with you. So even though later on we do find that Nineveh turned sour and that we had all of these terrible massacre against Nineveh that we see in Trey Usher. But that wasn't said by Yonah, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, look, you already, as far as I'm concerned, you're a pusil, a shliach when it comes to Nineveh. You don't know how to deal with them. Okay, but the rest of them, of course, he spoke to them. I mean, this would explain the internal problem, which is the fact that after he went back, Yonah, to Nineveh, and after he was Mekayim Shlichut, we have this whole other conversation about the Kikayon, right? Where Hashem tells him, so, you're good and angry, yeah, you're nice and upset, got plenty of resentment, I like it, fume, go ahead, fume better. But the mice, I mean, it's a very powerful Nevius, and it calls it speaking to Yonah. It's actually never spoke to him again. I mean, he didn't speak to him about his shlichus to Nineveh. He put him in his place. That's all. That's something else. Now, Reb Nachum Bar Yitzchak says, no, he actually never spoke to Yonah after that again. And even though it says in the pasuk Yidvar Hashem Asher Diber B'Yad Avdo and so on, the Navi Yonah ben Amittai, that doesn't mean that Yonah ben Amittai was the one who predicted that Yeravam ben Yoash was going to go ahead and get back all of the Orim from Aram. It means that even though there were these terrible gezeiros against Yeravam, that Aram is going to be coming and is going to be turning Yisrael into Afar HaAdama and so on, that then HaKadosh Baruch Hu changed his mind. And it says, Ki ra'a Hashem et oni Yisrael, more me'od, ve'efes atzur, ve'efes azur, ve'eno zerli Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, I can't take it. I know I'm supposed to take it. I just can't take it. How can I go through with this? Ve'lo diber Hashem limchot et shem Yisrael mitachat ha'shamayim. What am I? Have I decided to wipe them out? I mean, I can't watch this. And because of that, Vayoshiem B'yad Yeravam Ben Yoash, right? Which was a sudden, complete turnaround of what it is that he had originally said he's going to do, which, of course, is always considered to be perfectly within the realm of Nevi'ahs, because only when a Navi says something good can it not be changed to bad, but if the Navi says something bad, it can always be changed to good. So therefore, what the Pasuk was saying is, Kidvar Hashem B'yad, remember that old guy, Yonah ben Amittai? Remember the horrible things that he said were going to happen to Nineveh? Did they happen? No siree. Same thing happened over here. So what if I said all kinds of horrible things? I said that to Yonah too, but they never happened. That's all that it means. So that Hashem basically changed his mind, same way he did with Nineveh. So that Yonah actually becomes the model for the very thing that he was so upset about. Yes, Hashem changes his mind. Yes, he's more tolerant than you want him to be. Okay, good. So then this is the completely different meaning. It's a very beautiful meaning. So, That was the comparison to Yonah. Doesn't mean that Yonah spoke about it in any way. Okay, let's see if we can get a raya to Rav Acha bar Yaakov from a braisa. Toshma. Agar, where his horato was shelo b'kedusha, v'leilato b'kedusha, I should say. So what is the din of the fact that he's born to a mother who's Jewish? How does that change things? Well, it changes things in that he does have a mother. And therefore, since his mother became a giyoret between his horah and his leida, so then we say he has a mother, and in which case if he has a mother, he's going to have all of the dinim of relatives of that mother. But he does not have any relatives to a father, because as far as the father is concerned, the father didn't exist. And it makes no difference, the question of the birth, because the father at the time that he impregnated his mother was the Zirmat Susim Zirmatam, as Rava said. So what do we mean when we say that he's got maternal relationships? So I'll tell you, if he goes ahead and he takes his sister, his maternal sister. So what we're talking about over here is that this guy had a sister who was older than him and who was a real giyoret, had not been born to a Jewish mother. His mother wasn't Jewish at that time. So now he, obviously, if we're talking about midiraisa, that sister's not related to him because she did not come from the same Jewish mother. And she was a giyoret who is unrelated. But afal pike, since he has a mother, and we look at that mother, la halacha, there are gezeiros, the rabbanan, so that even though he's allowed to marry his sister, but the rabbanan said, no, you have to get rid of her, because we're nervous that he might think that he could marry even his younger sister, who in fact would be his true maternal sister. And therefore, since he doesn't understand the lumdas of the difference between a sister was born before him, before the mother was Jewish, and a sister was born after him, and where over there it would be his sister from the same mother. So in order to avoid that problem, there's a gezeira derabbana. That's what we mean when we say that he does have maternal relationships. But as far as paternal relationships, he does not have such a thing. So therefore, if he married his sister from the same father, he does not have to divorce her because he doesn't have a father at all. But this idea of maternity is so central that if there's any element of maternity, we're worried that he's going to get confused and marry his maternal sister. So therefore, even if it's a far-fetched maternity, let's say he marries the maternal sister of his father. So they always say, well, who cares? It's his father. He doesn't have a father. No. Since there were elements in determining that this was a real sister to his father, we had to look at the shared mother. So because of that, we were even gozer in that case that he has to send her away. But if it's a sister of his father through his father's father, then he does not have to send her away because there was no element of imahut involved. Let's see, he marries his sister, his mother's sister from the same mother. So then again, he's not allowed to keep her. What about if he marries his mother's sister from the same father, but not from the same mother? So over there, there's a machlokas because Rabbi Meir goes so far as to say, look, I understand that it's ridiculous because he doesn't have the father anyway. So she doesn't have a father vis-a-vis him. But since there's an element of imahut, Rabbi Meir says, you got to get rid of her. Yotzi. The Chachamim Omrim Yekayim. Because Rabbi Meir said, look, if there's any reference to a mother in determining the relationship, then this guy's going to get confused and we assert midrabban. So kol ervashi mishum she'er ha'em, he's got to be yotzi. Even though obviously, it isn't really a relationship to the mother because it was only related to the mother through a father. And the same thing would be true in the opposite. If it's entirely because of an av and there's no motherhood involved, so then you kayin. All right. Then getting back to the main flow of the braisa, umutar be'eshet achiv is what it should say. So he's allowed to marry Eshet Achiv, and this is what we're going to be talking about. So in other words, the ger, that horato shelo b'kedusha v'leidato b'kedusha, if he has an older brother, then since the older brother is a katan shenoilad, so they're not really brothers at all, and therefore there's no iser of marrying a brother's wife, because they aren't really brothers b'nei aim either, because they are katan shenoilads here. The brother was born before the mother became Jewish. Good. But he can't marry his younger brother's wife because there he would be an Isser D'oraisa. So he is allowed to marry Eshet Achiv. He would be allowed to marry that brother's wife and Be'eshet Achi Aviv, his father's brother's wife also. He is allowed to marry. Why not? There's no, I mean, obviously D'oraisa, they're not considered to be related. And the fact is that he himself became a ger, so there is no father. So they're not related. And there's no reason why we should aser it. And here over here, the problem is that goyim are allowed to marry the eshet of the achi aviv. There's no din of uncles on a goy. And therefore, we don't have the additional problem, which we haven't discussed here yet, but it's another element which I'm sure Moshe Forman will add to his cards, and you will add to your list of all of the concepts, and that is shelo yomru bo'u mi a iser chomer. They came from a nation that has more hakpadas to a nation that doesn't have arayas. So in order to avoid that, some of the time we asked it, but over here, the goyim also don't have an iser at all, so there was no reason to ask it. And then it states, which doesn't seem to add anything, v'shar kol arayot mutarot lo. Who are shar kol arayot? Now that's coming to include his father's wife. So that also that's the only thing that's left. And that is not an iser. Nasa isha obita. What about if he marries a woman and her daughter? So over here, we're not talking anymore about the ger that was horatzai. Here we're talking about someone goes ahead and gets married as a goy. He marries a goya and her daughter. So then he brings the entire family and converts with the family. So now what? Can he still stick with the mother and her daughter? Because technically speaking, nobody's related over here. No, says the Braisa. He cannot. He has to choose one of them. So kones achat umotzi achat. He can either marry the mother or he can marry the daughter, but you cannot have both of them. And lechatchila lo yichnos. He should not marry both. The Gemara asks, what's that? Obviously, if he has to send them away, then lechatchila lo yichnos. That's crazy. So we'll explain that. And in this event, if his wife dies, then he would be allowed to marry his mother-in-law who became Jewish. Normally, you're not allowed to marry a mother-in-law after the death of a wife, but he can. And here we don't have any chashash that people are going to learn from this, because he's talking, it's not quite clear whether it's only in a case that he was married to them before the giur and she died before he ever took her into a new marriage, or maybe even if he did take her into a new marriage. That's machlokes rishonim. Okay, now, some learn about this last piece, the ikedatani, he remains asur b'chamoto. And we're going to see in a moment how this is nogea, the machlokes, Reb Sheshes, and Reb Acher bar Yaakov, and what the sfora would be for the nafkamina of heter b'chamoto or iser b'chamoto. But first, let's take a look at why I feel that this case is relevant to the machlokes, because it says over here beferish, does it not? Mutar be'eshet achiv. Now, what does that mean when it says mutar be'eshet achiv? I mean, I'm assuming that it's referring to the case where the brother who had converted before, he was married to her after he became a ger. And nonetheless, the Braisa doesn't consider them to be related. Okay, that's exactly what Rav Acher bar Yaakov says. They are not related, and people know that they're not related. And therefore, the Rabbanan did not answer it, and he's allowed the Chatchila to go and to marry his brother's ex-wife. Okay, so what's Reb Sheshes going to do with this? Well, obviously, Reb Sheshes will have to learn the same way that he learned in the other similar cases that we brought, namely that the Braisa is talking about the Nazvek Yeshua Oved Kochavim. That's exactly what we said in the case of Niftayim's brother, right? And it's talking about he married her while he wasn't even a ger yet. So everybody agrees in that case. Rav Sheshes is not going to argue about that case, that of course there's no iser on an eshet ach with a marriage. There's no marriage. That's not the question of whether they're related or not related. That was the machlokas between Rav Sheshes and Rav Acha bar Yaakov was only about are they brothers min rabbanan or not. But the question of whether a marriage as a goy would have any impact on your status while you're Jewish, you have a brother, and Rav Sheshes would never have dreamt to say that. So it's talking about that he married her when he wasn't even a Jew. I mean, that's crazy. What's the chiddush of that? I mean, of course, there's no real chatnut there. The moment they become Jewish, unless he remarries her, there's no problem. Well, that's exactly the point. That's the problem. Because Ma'o de Tema Ligzar Kishu Ove Kachavim Otu Kishu Ger. I mean, you're saying if he didn't remarry her when he became a Ger, okay. And you're telling me that nobody's going to make the mistake of thinking that if he's allowed to marry his brother's wife that he took in as a non-Jew and he had not remarried her. So he's going to know the difference whether they had slept together and he married her in L'shem Kiddushin. He's not going to know the difference. So you would have thought if that's the case, then if the brother had actually married her when he was already a ger, and then they really are married, and then he's got a different kind of situation where even there, Rav Sheshes, maybe Rav Sheshes would say that over there were gozer, comes along the brisa to say, no, Kamashma, we're not worried about it. Now, I just want to understand the case in the bright. What is the case? A guy marries a woman with her daughter. He chooses one and leaves out the other. Whichever one he chooses, he can choose. That's what it's saying. As long as he's not going to be simultaneously married to Isha Ubita. Okay, that's what you said. And then you put in these weird words. L'chatchila lo yichnos. But he shouldn't marry them l'chatchila. That's nuts. If we just said you have to get rid of one of them, so how can we say l'chatchila lo yichnos? Well, obviously, if he was already married to them, but before he has to choose one and get rid of the other, of course he can't be kones l'chatchila. So l'chatchila mi boy, you need to tell me that? No, this last words over here of l'chatchila lo yichnos is going back there. Awesome, Koy. It's going back to the beginning of the Braisa. Because when the Braisa said, and what it's telling you with these words is like, look, we just told you about all of these cases, whatever it was, Rabbi Meir's Shita or the Rabbanan Shita, but we had a lot of cases where you would be allowed to remain married to someone who everybody would look at. Isn't that your sister? Or what, right? And we would allow it. So all of those cases that we say, note, you can keep. But we want you to understand that you can only keep. But if you ask us whether you should marry them, the deal is no. You can be a kayem, but you should not have married them in the beginning. Because again, we're not going to be mechayev someone just because something looks bad. We're not going to be mechayev him for an outlandish possibility that someone would actually learn from it. Because we don't make gezeiras like that. But nonetheless, the element of propriety and being married to your own sister and so on, it's a little bit risque. So we would tell him, therefore, l'chatchila, that's not who you want to marry. Okay, that's understandable, but it has nothing to do with this last case. Of course, it can't be referring to the last case. Now, the last piece of the braisa was that in the event that his wife died, so then we have a machlokas. The Tanakhama says, Mutter b'chamoto, and then we have another girsa. I shouldn't say a Tanakhama. The first girsa is mutter b'chamoto, and ika the tani. There's another girsa of the Braita where the Braita said, no, he remains a sur b'chamoto. Even it's talking about, remember, he was married as a goy. He was married to a goyish woman and her daughter. And then they all convert, right? That was the case. And we find that there's two girsa of the Braita. According to one, it would be mutter, and according to the other, he remains usher. So what is that based on? Well, we know what that's based on. That is basically, one of them is going Aliba to Rabbi Shmuel, and one of them is going Aliba to Rabbi Akiva, which was the machlokas that we had last week. Just five daf ago, we had that machlokas. What is the din? Remember, so the one who said that it's usher, he is going according to Rabbi Shmuel, because Rabbi Shmuel was the one who learned that chamoto la'achar mitah be'isura kaima. Remember, we had this strange diuk of otov ethen. And remember that Rabbi Akiva said ethen means that if both of them are alive, then there's one that is us. But if his wife is not alive, then since there's no ethen, there's no din of sreifa on her either, on the mother-in-law either. So that is the machlokas we're referring to. So according to Rabbi Yishmael, he holds that chamoto la'achar mitah b'isura kaima. So, okay, so then the gezeiros of the Rabbanan that treat a ger to the same chumrah, because it looks like the Yisrael, and we don't want to say Babi Kedusha Chamura, the Kedusha Kala is the actual Lashon, and or whatever other issues are involved. So it makes sense to give that gezeira, and it remains like the other dinim of the gezeiros. But according to those who follow Rabbi Akiva, if a Jew in a similar situation would not be in the... Now, remember, we came out before that even if you say otov eten, all it's saying is that you're not chayev sreifa. That's no be'eshis refu otov eten. It's still usher. So, but the fact is that it's not as usher as it was, right? So in other words, the Torah specified that the isser of chamoto is weakened. So he holds, Rabbi Akiva, that chamoto la'achar mitah is kalash, and that there is no din of sreifa. So because of that, the fact that the Torah wanted us to know that it's a weaker iser, the Rabbanan were not gozer on the weaker iser, on the ger. That's all. And that would very cleanly explain, without introducing any new issues, would very cleanly explain the machlokas in what the gersa in the braita is. If you hold like Rabbi Shmuel, there is no change in the status after death to chamoto. So whenever, if the Rabbanan made a gezera of an iser of chamot on the ger, so it remains the same iser that it always was. If you hold like Rabbi Akiva, so then the gersa in the braita would be umutar b'chamoto.